Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. If you could just stand to your feet for just a moment, I just want to kind of pray this through and make sure we head in the right direction for this morning in the name of Jesus. Pray with me, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for the direction of Holy Spirit. You said he would guide us into all the truth. Yeah. And he does for us. I see it. He does for us represent your divine presence. You said in your word that Jesus would be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away. Because when I go away, Holy Spirit will come.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit will come. Holy Spirit will come. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for Holy Spirit in this place, for Holy Spirit in our hearts. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Oh, I'm excited. It's real quiet. These are exciting times, people. Thank you. Thank you for that one. Woo! Praise the Lord. These are exciting times. You know, one of the things that the Lord showed me several years back, you know, usually every year there's a word from the Lord that goes out to the body of Christ. And what's amazing right now is that I've listened to several different prophets. I mean, real prophets, not people that get themselves titles. And they're not saying the exact same thing, but they're connecting the dots, giving a full, better, clearer picture of what God is doing. And one of the things that the Lord showed me is the word that we got last year didn't stop. He's an eternal God. And once he puts it out there, it's out there. Amen. It kind of reminds me of when the king made a decree and the children of Israel were going to be destroyed, and Esther was the queen at the time. Mm-hmm. And once they realized that Haman had created this wicked plan, the king could not undo his proclamation, but he could make another proclamation that gave the children of Israel the right to protect themselves. And so every word that has gone forth, I can think back years. At one time, the word would have a rhyme to it, but it would still be powerful. Those are things that are still out there for us to tap into. And so even if you may not have seen everything you thought you should have seen based on the word that was given last year, it's still out there for you to partake of. So I'm excited. I say it all the time. He laughs at me. But these are exciting times. Oh, my God. We are on the right team, y'all. Say thank you at least a little bit more. We are on the right team, y'all. Now, let's try it one more time. We are on the right team, y'all. Yeah. Thank you. Amen.
So, one of the things that is on my heart has to do with presence.
Mm-hmm.
and his divine presence. And that in this year, it will be marked with his presence. And I just as I was praying, some things came out that I had never noted before. You know, we talked about the fact that Jesus was called Emmanuel. That was his name, and that means God with us. Mm-hmm. God with us. And that's what Jesus was called, and he was God with us. But he said, it's better for you if I go away.
Yeah.
Because when I go away, Holy Spirit will come.
Yes, yes.
And Holy Spirit is God with us, but he is God in us, and he is God on us. And come on, Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Upon you. And on that day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, it said that when Holy Spirit came, it said there appeared to them. There was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and then there appeared to them these tongues of fire, and it sat on each of them.
Yeah.
Or it sat upon each of them. And that was symbolic of the Spirit and the presence of God.
And you know, when you were saying that, I thought about in the Old Testament when God's presence tried to come down and fellowship with his creation, the earth couldn't handle his glory. It was, you had smoke, you had thunderings, it literally scared the children of Israel to the point where they were like, listen, Moses, you go and talk to God, and whatever you come back and tell us, we will do. But when Jesus came and brought judgment on sin, it changed everything in the earth so that the presence of God could come down and not destroy everything with his presence. So we're able to have him when before, to have his presence would have literally, physically killed us.
So I talked about, in my prayer, divine protocol. Protocol is the proper etiquette and ways that any official business is handled. So when you go into a courtroom, they do not allow you, when the judge comes in, to remain seated. Protocol is all rise. And everybody stand up, and you take your hat off, and you stand up, the judge is coming in. All right? And then once he comes in, you can be seated. That's protocol. And the scripture says in Psalm number 100, enter into my gates. How?
With thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Notice enter in. It is the protocol for coming into God's presence. He said, come in with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. So thank you, Lord, you've been good to me. And so you might not recognize it because we know that God God doesn't live in the visible realm. God is invisible, right? We don't see God. But if God tells me that when I give thanks, I enter into his gates, I believe that there is an entrance to a place that for lack of a better term, or actually I think this is the best term, a secret place.
Yeah.
Where I can fellowship with him. We all need a secret place.
Yes.
Yeah, Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide where? Under the shadow
of the Almighty.
Under the shadow of the Almighty. That's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty close. And so there is a calling into divine presence. Let me give you a scripture. Let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. Glory.
While we're going there, mm-hmm. I just thought I'd look up the definition of protocol, and I thought it was pretty good.
Okay.
And it said, the official procedure or system of rules governing affairs of state.
Mm. Mm.
And it, that says a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, my number one rule
is,
for example, if I have been believing God for something and I don't get the manifestation, then I'm checking here. Because he's already done his part. So I'm checking here.
Yeah.
Because somewhere in here, the protocol has gotten fuzzy, hasn't been clear, or something to that degree. The bottom line, we walk by faith. Different things come against our faith. And that's all I'm going to say, because I don't want you to say that I got into the message before time.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 24. So, just for those of you who don't know, my wife has a habit. No, she doesn't. There have been occasions where my wife
operates in the gifts. Operates in the gifts.
Where my wife speaks for me.
And I tap in.
Okay, yeah. Right.
I was helping you make it sound good.
Yes,
that's all.
Yes. Yes. So we're going to leave it right there.
Amen.
So, amen. Start this year off right.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 24. But this man, talking about Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. What is the way to God?
Jesus.
By him. Yes, Jesus, but by him. So he's able to save everyone that comes unto God by him. Everybody who by him enters into that divine presence, he's able to save them.
Amen.
And make them welcome. So many people, because of guilt of their past or condemnation or inferiority, don't want to go near to God. They're always thinking that I don't deserve it. I'm not good enough. This is reserved for pastors and deacons and certain people. But he's able to save anybody that by him comes unto God. And see, I recognize from this verse and the verse from, go to Hebrews chapter 11, since I'm here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. To please him, to satisfy him entirely, one translation says. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For or because he that cometh to God. Wow. I saw that phrase again. I saw the phrase that over in Hebrews 7, it talked about coming to God through Jesus Christ. And here it says by faith. It's without faith, it's not possible to please him. For he that cometh to God. And so faith has to do with my approach of God. If I'm coming to God, it is by my faith that I believe that I can get there and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe he is. And I believe he's a rewarder. And because of that, I come. I'm drawn into his presence because I believe that he is. And so my arrival in his presence has to do firstly with my heart and what I believe about him. That's so good to me. Because most people think that sin keeps them separate from God. And I believe that sin keeps you away from God. Sin changes how you see him. It doesn't change how he sees you.
Right, right. So then we have to line up our perspective, line up our how we perceive this relationship and agree with God. We're not trying to get God to agree with us with how pitiful we are and what we did last night and last week and who we slapped, who we cussed out, who we stole from. That's not what we're trying to get God to agree with. God is not going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah. And once you grab hold of this, this scripture is telling you that's what faith is. And once I have the faith to come to him, I also have the faith to believe that he rewards me for diligently seeking him. Yeah. This is the good news.
Yeah. You know, pretty much the whole letter of Hebrews is about this relationship in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And what Paul said back in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Well, let me go back up to verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So it's not that he does not understand. And it's not that he hasn't felt what you're feeling. Paul goes on to say, so stop trying to get him to identify with woe is me, but instead, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's identify with our high priest. Let's identify with our creator. Let's identify with this new identity that we have. Yeah.
Come boldly. come boldly. She, that passage she read says, we have a high priest, or it says we have not a high priest which cannot. It uses the negative in both. We have not a high priest. In other words, our high priest can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Infirmity, it means weakness. And so he knows where we're weak. And he's been touched by those weaknesses. It said, yet without sin.
Yeah.
And so because he's been touched with those weaknesses, he knows where we need help. He knows how to save us. He knows the deliverance that we need. He knows the wisdom we need. Amen.
Amen.
He knows all of those things. But the thing is to try to get us to get out of our human thinking, which is what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. As soon as they sinned, they ran from the presence, or excuse me, hid from the presence of God. It says in Genesis chapter 3, that presence came walking in the garden, and they hid from the presence. And God said, Adam, where are you? Which is, the for me, one of the most beautiful verses in the Bible. Because this is after Adam's sin. And God came looking for Adam. And he went to meet him in the place where he was accustomed to them spending time together. And rather than Adam being there, this time Adam hid. And God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I was afraid. Because we were naked. Now, up until now, they've been spending time with God naked.
Amen.
But this time it was different. And that's such an important statement. Let me tell you something. The enemy will always try to get you to put focus on something that's always been there and God's never rejected you for it. He's been naked all this time. But the devil made him look at his nakedness as something to be ashamed of. And so now all of a sudden, rather than going to continue that relationship, that closeness, that fellowship, that time of worship, that time of receiving wisdom from God and being able to share and hear God's heart and to share his heart with God, he was hiding.
Yeah. I think things changed on the deepest level of his being, Adam and Eve. And so they used to have the ability to be in God's presence. They had a different mindset about being in God's presence. But when they changed gods, when they chose something other than God, it changed them. And there was nothing that can be done about that except for God to love them from a distance.
Yeah. It changed the way that they saw God. Rather than God being someone to be worshipped and to fellowship with, he was someone to be feared.
Yeah.
Or someone to be afraid of, and someone that was coming to pass judgment on them.
Right.
And if you notice, even still today, a lot of people see God that way. And I'm here to tell you that that way of seeing God does not come from the scripture where God defines himself, but it comes from the devil. Because there was no fear of God initially.
No. There was unity.
There was unity. There was intimacy.
Yeah.
They were real, real close. They were so close that when God created the animals, the scripture tells us in Genesis, he brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Man, you know, that's like me making this iPad. And I take this, and I made something. And I just wanted to see what you
would call it. Well, well, well. All right, then.
Okay, so now, but, you know, she made that kind of comical. But think about this.
If I never knew what it was, never saw it before, but because of my unity with you.
That's it.
Your thoughts
That's it.
Are my thoughts, wow. Not the other way around. Your thoughts are my thoughts. That's why God said, my ways are higher than your ways. He didn't say that to say, so stay beneath me, you sluggard. You know, he was saying that to say, so I need you to come up.
Mm-hmm.
Need you to come up.
Mm-hmm. And so she was able, by understanding my heart, to comprehend the purpose of what I created. And from that understanding, call it exactly what it needed to be called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to think about all of the different animals and all of the birds and I mean, everything that Adam had to name, he had. I would have got tired just with the birds. You, come on. I would have started doubling up. That's a sparrow, too. But this helps you understand something. When we get tired, we are operating in our own ability. When we have breakdowns or when we seem like we can't go on, the scripture tells us our strength is small. But when I'm operating based on my intimacy with him, there is a flow from him that makes what I'm doing effortless.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe that every time one was brought before Adam, there's something on the inside said, monkey, horse.
He just knew.
Fox.
Just knew.
Mole, groundhog, squirrel, wolf. You know, come on, just the species we can think of, we can go on and on.
Yeah.
And in order for Adam to have that kind of wisdom, because remember, Adam was seeing things he had never seen before. And so how do you know what something is that you've never seen before? You need some help.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, it just made me think, and I believe this is for someone. I don't know if it's online or here in person, but you're looking to God for increase, but you are locking God out because you keep thinking it's going to come based on what you know. I just don't know enough. In the natural, there's always going to be someone smarter than me. There's always going to be someone stronger than me. There's always going to be someone more able than me. But with God, he can bring to me something that never existed.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do realize there are still things that God is able to do
mm-hmm.
that man has never thought of.
Mm-hmm.
And you want the increase of God, you want the prosperity of God, Spend more time with God.
When you do, Holy Spirit will give you the divine protocol. Come on. He'll give you the divine protocol.
Yeah.
How does government operate?
Yeah.
So that when you're applying, because that's what you're, when you're praying, you're applying for that benefit from the government.
That's right.
Because the Bible tells me the government of God has certain benefits.
And it's unending.
It's unending. And in fact, Paul says, now he'll supply according to his riches in glory. So I just got to know, what's the protocol to get it out of glory and in my house?
Yeah.
In my body.
Yeah.
In my family. What's the protocol?
Yeah.
All right, let me go back for a minute to this whole idea of Adam seeing things he never saw before. And I'm so very glad. Here, let's read this. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. I love this passage. Let's start at verse 19. Good Lord. Okay, we're going to move on today. But we'll hear more about this idea of presence. More about authority, more about prayer. These are things that are on my heart that, oh man, and it's so strong for this year.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I was seeing that was, I talked about different prophets speaking different things that they believe the Lord was sharing with them of what's coming in 2023. One main thread, there were connect the dots all over the place, but one main thread that I heard over and over and over, God is going to pour out his glory, his presence, at a whole nother level this year for his people. Because he has had enough of the nonsense. People acting like he ain't God, and we will be the ones to show the world, oh, he is God, and you will bow the knee, or your other option, you do not want to spend eternity without him.
You don't want to spend 1 second without him. Amen. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 19. I think I'm gonna read this, and we'll be close to done, I think.
Okay. Is that like a strong hint? Okay. Not a problem.
No,
not a problem.
That was a question. Verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam, listen, to see what he would call them. I love that. He's, what you gonna call it? Now watch this. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of it. So let me just take a little side journey right here. We know the scripture that says death and life are in the power of the
tongue.
And so God is waiting to see what you're going to call it.
And he set up the protocol.
Ooh.
So that he has made himself have to honor.
Yeah, whatever you call
what
it.
What comes out of your mouth.
What you call it. What do you say about your marriage relationship?
What do you say about your health? The doctor says X, Y, and Z. But what are you saying?
What do you call it?
And are you going to side with God or are you going to side with the doctor? And here's the thing. We're all growing in this. So it's kind of like, you know what, Lord? Help me to grow. Amen. I'm not so proud to walk around trying to act like I'm holy and, you know, I've achieved or reached some level in my spirituality. Uh-uh. I'm your baby.
That's right. All right. I was going to go more on that. Let me read the scripture.
Okay.
All right. And Adam called every, to whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every, I love that God used words like every and all. In this
leaving
verse,
nothing out.
And to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help meet or suitable or adaptable for him. He couldn't find one. He looked at all, he named them, and he couldn't find one for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Let me just say something right here.
Uh-oh. Come on, tell it, tell it.
Adam knew enough to look at the dog and say, you know, that's a pretty dog. That ain't for me. He knew enough to look at the horse and say, oh, that's a beautiful animal. That ain't for me. He knew enough to look at the lion and say, oh, that's a beautiful animal. That's not, come on, that's not for me. And so there was something in Adam that let him know what was for him and what wasn't. Don't let that break down in our knowledge today so that we no longer understand what's for us and what's not.
Mm.
Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Let me add a line to this. So we put it in proper context to see what he would call her. Isn't that why he brought everything else that he brought to him? I made this, and I want to see what you're going to call it. And Adam named everything, and he said, but there's not one for me.
You know, I am. We have used the acronym Bible Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Mm-hmm. I really believe that man is here in the earth learning how to be like God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How to be with him.
Yes. You can't be with him if you're not like him.
That's right. That's right.
But go ahead.
All right, verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. And brought her unto the man to see what he would call him. And Adam said, he immediately started talking. And he said, this is, now, this is the one I've been looking for. I found one suitable and adaptable to me, but this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. I don't know how he even knew this. You see that? God caused him to go to sleep. Listen, if you go to sleep and they take your appendix out, if they don't tell you we took out your appendix, when you wake up, you don't know
what's missing.
You don't know what's missing. You know they cut you. I know y'all cut me. And press that buzzer. Hey, bring me something. Bring me something.
I know that's right.
Help me. Help me. Sometimes you have that button. When you just press it, it just give you a download. I don't know what y'all did, but this show helped whatever y'all did. This show helps it right here. All right. So now when he woke up, though, he knew exactly what God had done. Oh, man, I believe this will be the case when the people who are going through life deceived, when they wake up, they'll know what God has been doing all along.
Yeah.
They'll see it.
Preserving and trying to keep them alive as best he's able, considering they're separate from him. But you know what? One of the things that I just find interesting, Adam said, she's bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh.
That's right.
He didn't say she was the sole of his shoe.
He did not. So she's there for me to walk on.
Or beating post. Mm-mm. Or lower than him. Or
slave to go give me some water when I want some cold water.
Exactly. Nor did God make several of them for him.
Uh-oh.
Oh, ladies, say amen. Oh, that was weak, but okay.
I thought that she was going to get a good amen right there.
God, really,
so hunt your neighbor. Say, neighbor, this is a bad time to stop saying amen.
but also, it says that God made him a helpmeet. Mm-hmm. She has specific things that she is able to do that no one else can do for him. And so when they start coming up with all these crazy, weird things that they got going on now, they're really preparing for the entrance of the Antichrist. Because this ain't got nothing to do with God, some of the stuff that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. God created the woman for the man. Period. Mm-hmm. He didn't leave room for amendments. This is the protocol.
All right, verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Notice, he never seen one before. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. He was able to discern exactly what God was doing. Watch this. He even went further into things that he knew nothing about. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. This the first man. What in the world is a father? What's a mother? You see, because of his intimacy with God, God shared wisdom on things that had never before existed. And so he was able to define those things for himself and for everybody else. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. He's done made a new term.
Cleave unto his wife. Oh my, cleave unto his wife. I'm getting ready to dip in somebody's business, but you're going to love me anyway because that's part of the protocol. Cleave unto his wife. It did not say that he was going to let his mama run his wife's household. He was not going to let his mama manipulate and try to rule and reign.
Or let me just switch it because take that pressure off. That's too much right there.
Oh, too much pressure?
That's
okay,
too much.
Go ahead.
Or it didn't say cleave unto his boys.
Ooh. I got one. Uh-oh. I got one. Cleave unto his children that are not from that marriage. Uh-oh. There's protocol. That's not saying, for example, with the children, that's not saying that they're not supposed to get everything that's due to them from their father. But daddy got to learn how to walk with God so that he does not take away from his wife to minister unto his babies. God can do it.
Because y'all know.
Oh.
Maybe it might not be a fact in your life, but you've seen somewhere.
That's a good way of saying it.
Baby mama trying to control things and trying to control him.
Yeah.
Baby mama. There you go, right there. That's it. I knew y'all seen it somewhere. Even if it's on TV, y'all seen it.
I seen it on TV.
Y'all seen it somewhere. But it says, cleave unto his wife. This word in the Hebrew is a fascinating word. It's in the imperfect tense. That means it's not a one-time event, but it's cleave and cleave and cleave and cleave and cleave. And so it really means, a better definition, is to pursue with all of your energy. That means that I'm ever going in her direction. I'm ever going after her. I'm ever trying to keep her close. Always. And cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
I just need to add a little something to it. Yeah, this is the last one, y'all, and I'm going to stop dipping. You older people, y'all know what I'm saying. Okay, so you're cleaving unto me because you want to be with me, not because you don't trust me and you're trying to control me. That's my last one for today.
And I'm cleaving onto you because I love you.
Yes.
I don't emotionally appreciate you. But there's a commitment of my heart that promises to be with you forever and to always serve you. And that promise of my heart goes beyond what I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that, can I be transparent right here?
Yeah.
Sometimes I get angry with her.
No.
It's normally because of some misunderstanding on my part.
Right answer. Right answer, honey.
All right. So, but even when I do, I cannot allow my emotional state to lessen my love. So I need to continually love her despite what I feel like right now.
Yeah.
And I think for us, the closest thing, I just like to compare it with today, the first of the month. Y'all know I put my house note on automatic payment. So, you know, that payment coming out.
Right.
Despite the fact that I want that money to stay. But it has nothing to do with what I feel like.
That's right.
It has to do with the commitment that I made. And so the way that I respond to my wife should also follow suit and have to do with the commitment of my heart. See, this is where our relationship and our time in that presence transforms us. So we go from emotional, rational people to covenant spiritual people. And that commitment of heart is stronger than anything that I feel.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the other thing. The vows that we exchanged at the altar.
Yes.
God was the witness to that.
That's right.
And so, should something happen and you stop following protocol, I can go to God. And he'll handle it. I don't have to try to fix it. I don't have to nag you. But that's why it's important that I marry a man that loves God.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Because even when I have a misunderstanding, God can help me to see it.
That's
And he has many times. Somebody said he will. Yeah, he absolutely will. And he has many times helped me to see that I'm thinking about this the wrong way. Now, do you understand? So that's a situation where I, like Adam, am having an experience that I've never had before, but he can help me put a name on it. And he showed me time after time, she's not my enemy. She is not my enemy. And I don't care if she did something intentionally to hurt my feelings. I even know that that motivation came from someplace other than the Lord. Amen. And he's the Lord of our union, and I go to him. And I have no problem apologizing to her, whether I did something wrong or not.
Yeah.
That's giving her the kind of love that Jesus gives us.
Amen.
Okay, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Man, this thing is filled. Go to verse 25. It's filled with things that Adam had no idea, but God is just giving him fresh revelation after fresh. Now, so don't forget something, because I don't want this to get lost, because this was our topic. God is there. He brought her to him. And he's standing there and he wants to see, what's he going to call her?
Yeah.
So there's divine presence there, divine wisdom, divine understanding, knowledge that's helping him as he begins to define what his relationship with this blessing of God is. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. That came later, after they sinned. So then all of a sudden, watch this, their relationship with the devil, or let me put it another way to help you. They're listening to him cause them to see things differently.
Yeah.
Things they weren't ashamed of. Now all of a sudden, I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed by that.
Yeah.
The reality is, when I come to God, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Come on, God seen me naked. He seen me naked. Let me put it another way. God seen me angry. God seen me cuss. God seen me drunk. God seen me sleep around. Come on, he seen all those things. He seen me get high. He seen me steal. He's seen my attitude toward people. He's seen my bad. He's seen all of those things. I need not be ashamed to come to him. Because it's with him where I get rid of all the labels and all of the negative things that people say about. And the devil's trying to make me think about myself. That's where I get rid of it. I come to him.
Things happen in his presence that don't happen any other way.
Wow.
I believe Psalms 23, this was an eye-opener for me, but when the psalmist said, he restoreth my soul. Before Jesus, my soul, my emotions, my feelings, my thinking could not handle the wisdom and love of God. Could not. It was impossible. All the more reason we should not get angry with relatives and friends when they don't see and understand that God loves them. All they see and understand is what they see. And so When he restoreth my soul, now even my soul can have access to his presence. And so now I'm going to think like him, like Adam did. I'm going to talk like him, like Adam did before the fall. And so Paul even talks about people that are lost, it's because their eyes are darkened. Their soul can't handle the light. But once they've received salvation, they can see things that they didn't see before. God can talk to them when he had no access to them before.
Yeah. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord.